So today, our service is going to be a little bit different. We are doing the Wesley Covenant service, and we're going to begin with an invitation to that service. Hear these words. My dear friends, fix these things. The eternal things are more enduring and real than earthly things. That things not seen are as certain as the things that are seen. That upon your choice depends your eternal destiny. Choose Christ and his ways, and you are blessed forever. Refuse him, and you are undone forever. And then, my friends, make your choice. Turn either to the right hand or to the left. Christ with his yoke, his cross, and his crown. Or the devil with his wealth, his pleasure, and his curse. Then ask yourselves, self, you see what is before you. What will you do? Which will you have, either the crown or the curse? If you choose the crown, remember that the day you take this, you must be content to submit to the cross and the yoke, the service and sufferings of Christ, which are linked to it. What do you say? Would you rather take the gains and pleasures of sin and risk the curse? Or will you yield yourself a servant to Christ and so make sure the crown? Next, cast yourselves upon his righteousness. Will you say now to him, Lord Jesus, will you take me? Will you bring me to God and bring me into the land of promise? With you I will risk myself. I cast myself upon you, upon your blood, upon your righteousness. This is the coming to Christ as your priest, and by this you now renounce your own righteousness. Do you deeply sense your sins and uncleanness without Christ? So I have a few announcements I'd like to lift up, but first, welcome to the Global Methodist Church. This is our second Sunday as a part of the Global Methodist Church, and we are in the process of continuing to change our name. We'll talk some more during the sermon about sort of what all this might mean for us, but I just wanted to recognize that this is our second Sunday as a part of the Global Methodist Church, and we're really excited about the things that are happening in that denomination. So Family Promise is here starting this afternoon. We've got all the spots filled, so I want to give you a big thumbs up and say thank you to all of you for your willingness to serve. Yeah, clap, give yourself a hand. So we're excited. That is a vital ministry of our church, and we're glad that we were able to get all the spots filled. They come, every quarter, I think? Yeah, we have a family that's coming every quarter. So anyway, it's a great ministry and glad that you are part of it. So one of our other great ministries is starting back up, and it is our Grief Share class. And it's starting on January the 9th with a loss of your spouse class. It's sort of like the starter for the Grief Share class. And Grief Share will start on January 23rd. You'll find some more information in your bulletin about the specifics of that. But if you or someone you know has lost a loved one recently, this is really a great ministry, and it's a great way to sort of help yourself through the grief process. You feel when you're going through grief, you feel like you're all alone, but you are not. There are a lot of people that are walking that same path of grief that you are, and so the Grief Share class is a great opportunity to work through that. So all of our children's activities are starting back on Wednesday, our arts and crafts and choirs and stuff. You'll see some more information about that in the bulletin. And we've got a community-wide event that is happening here. It's going to be on the 14th of January. It's from 10 to 1. And they're calling it a shredding event. It's not like you like snow skiing and really shredding it or on your snowboard, but rather the idea is that you're shredding your documents that have some things on it you don't want getting out there. Your tax returns, things with your social security number on it, your bank records, whatever you've got that you want shredded, destroyed in a way that nobody else can see it. You can come and drive through on that day, the 14th. It's from 10 to 1. And it's for really anyone in our community to come and drive through. So if you've got friends or neighbors, share with them about this. It's free for all the people that come and drop stuff off. But it's just a great way for us to sort of help our community kind of deal with some paperwork that just can be problematic. So invite your friends and your neighbors to be a part of that.
Our prayer time is going to look a little bit different today, as you can see in the bulletin. As part of the Wesleyan Covenant Renewal Service, we are going to say this historic prayer that is a part of us confessing our sins, adoring God, and giving thanks for all that God is in our lives. As we say these words, I ask that you would just let them break into your heart. We put them in the bulletin so you could take them home with you and meditate upon them further. And as we go through this today, as we rededicate our lives to Christ, these words are a part of that. So you are the yellow parts or the bold parts in your bulletin. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Let us adore the Father, the God of love, who created us, who every moment preserves us and sustains us, who has loved us with an everlasting love and given us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. We praise thee, O God. We acknowledge thee to be the Lord. Let us give thanks to God for his manifold mercies. O God, our Father, the fountain of all goodness, who has been gracious to us through all the years of our life, we give thee thanks for thy loving kindness, which hath filled our days and brought us to this time and place. We praise thy holy name, O Lord. Let us pray. O God, everlasting God, as we say these words that were written hundreds of years ago, we join with the cloud of witnesses that for generations before us have proclaimed their love and adoration and commitment to you. Today we renew that commitment as brothers and sisters in Christ in this time and this place, and ask that you would continue to be with us always. Amen. Well, we begin a new year, but we continue on with our dynamic dollars. Those are those $1 bills that make it into the offering plate, or you can give a dedicated offering by writing a memo in your check or designating it in your online gift to dynamic dollars. January's dynamic dollars go to The Door, which is a shelter for women and children who are victims of domestic violence, and we are honored that we can continue to support them in that work. You can give by placing your gift in the plate. There are boxes as you exit the sanctuary. And we've also tried to make it really easy to give online or even by text. We continue to be grateful for all the gifts this congregation gives to God, and we pray that they would go forth into this community and that this place could be a beacon of light for all those that are touched by it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you to return to you a portion of that which is already yours. We are so grateful for the opportunity to not only dedicate our lives to you, but also a portion of our earnings so that your world may be better for it and that your kingdom may be built. We ask that you would bless and equip these to go out into the world and bring honor to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some of the staff suggested that I walk up here to the Darth Vader music, and I'm like, no, I'm a good guy. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I thought that we would start our new year out with taking a look at making a new commitment or a recommitment to the things that are important to us as Wesleyans and important to us as followers of Jesus. I thought it might be a good time to look at renewing those commitments. And so today we're going to talk about renewing or making a new, stronger commitment to Christ. And then next week we're going to talk about making a commitment to one another. And then we're going to talk about making a new commitment to the church with a big C, the church universal. And then we're going to talk about a commitment, renewing our commitment to the community in which we function. So we're going to look at all four of those things over the next 4 weeks. But today we're talking about renewing our commitment to Christ. But first I want to talk a little bit about what will change with our becoming a part of the Global Methodist Church. And the truth of it is, not a whole lot as it relates to the day-to-day workings of our church. You may have already noticed, but we've changed the signs. Our official name is Atascocita Methodist Church. If you are giving online, regular, repeating giving, nothing changes. It's all the same. We're going to have the same leadership structure that we've had the last several years. The ministries that we are a part of are going to continue. We need you all to give of yourselves, your time, your talent, and your treasures to make all of those ministries happen. There's really not a lot of huge changes that we're going to see. As we talked about, our name will change, and we are working, by the way, on ferreting out all of the places where our name is. And so if you see some that we've missed, just lift them up to us. And we are aware that the little rug out there says Atascocita United Methodist Church. We've got one on order, but since it was raining today, we thought it was important that we have it out there for you. So, but if you do see some things, let us know. And then our website has changed. It is am-church.org. And with that, our email extensions have changed as well. So our old emails will continue to work, but as far as the day-to-day workings of the church, not a whole lot is going to change. One of the things that has changed for me is I am no longer an itinerant preacher. I no longer serve at the discretion of the bishop when and where. As a United Methodist pastor, it's a fairly radical form of discipleship that you follow as a Methodist preacher, because you literally put your hands in the life of the bishop and the cabinet, and they will tell you where to go. I mean, they could have told me, Mike, you're going to Longview tomorrow, and I would go, because that was an oath that I made. And so as a part of the Global Methodist Church, that whole, we will have bishops, but that whole itinerancy thing of pastors being forced to move, for you losing your pastor when you still want to keep your pastor, and you all as a church will have a lot more say about the comings and goings of your pastor. When the time comes for a new pastor to come, you'll all be a part of the interview process. You'll have some opportunity to have a lot of input as to who that is. One of the other things that's changed is Leanne has been welcomed as an elder in the Global Methodist Church, and we're really excited about that. And she will... She'll, with that comes sacramental rights and privileges, and she'll be leading her, I guess it's her technically second, Holy Communion today. And so she'll be leading you in communion. So one of the things that is happening at the bigger level is the Global Methodist Church is really urging the churches that have come to this new denomination to pick up some of the Wesleyan roots that we have lost, things that we have forgotten, things that we have maybe just stopped doing. Well, one of the big things that John Wesley was about was small groups. He was the original small group dude. He thought they were really important. And he put together different levels. There was like sort of like the church level of a small group. And then there was a class level, which was 50 or so folks. And then there was a level at which he called them the band. They don't play musical instruments, but it's a group of four or five people that are around the same life stage, same age, a lot of times same gender, and they really hold each other accountable. The whole idea of small groups is that we learn better together. We learn from each other because we have different perspectives on things and different understandings. And then the idea of the bands is that we hold one another accountable for our mistakes. So part of the meeting of the bands is how is it with your soul? And what have you done that was a sin against Christ? And you really can hold one another accountable. My wife is part of a band from group of women that she knows from our previous church, St. Luke's United Methodist Church. She continues to meet with them every week, and it's very meaningful for her life. So in the coming weeks and months, we're going to be talking to you about some small group opportunities. We might change the names of them. They might not be classes and bands, but the concepts are going to be the same. And I really ask that you would open your heart to being a part of that. This is a part of really what it means to be a Methodist that we kind of have forgotten. And so in the coming weeks and months, as we begin to talk about these things, I ask that you open your heart to that. It may make you a little uncomfortable. It might be a little bit scary. That means that you're probably growing in your faith. And so asking you to be open to those. So today we're talking about a new or a renewed commitment to Christ. And our text regarding that comes from 2 Corinthians. This is one of the seven undisputed letters of Paul, one that scholars just all generally agree Paul in fact wrote. It wasn't one of his disciples that wrote this. This was actually Paul himself. And Paul is writing this second letter because, shocker of shockers, there is strife in this church in Corinth. He started this church in Corinth, and so he was very anxious about it, and there were some issues that were happening, and the whole first letter to the Corinthians was sort of answering some of those problems, that the strife that was happening in the church. There were some that said, basically, if you're not speaking in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit, and Paul responds to them saying, that's not exactly right. The Spirit manifests itself lots of different ways. There's a number of things that he takes up in 1 Corinthians. Well, in 2 Corinthians, there are more problems. And one of the problems that he is speaking to is that a group of teachers have come along, and they have started teaching some things that are antithetical to what Paul had taught. And it appears from the way Paul goes about this letter that these folks had sort of lifted themselves up of being like, I don't know, super Jews. That they were really in Christ, and they were really with it, and they understood it, and Paul was somehow inferior to them. And we really have the true message of Jesus. And so Paul is writing in response to this. And I love today's passage. You know, Paul, I think, he uses the gift of sarcasm a fair amount in his writings. And I think this is probably one of the most sort of sarcastic responses that Paul is using as he's talking to this church at Corinth. You know, we read in other places, Paul is against boasting about anything that you do. Paul is about boasting about what Christ has done for us. And he says numerous times, I will not boast in what I do, but I will boast in what Christ has done through me and for me. Paul puts that aside in this particular passage because he begins to boast as the world boasts. And he comes to this conclusion that he has to boast like this because of what the previous teachers, these so-called teachers, had been saying about him. And so I think his tongue is firmly in his cheek when he begins to boast about this, but I think he is at the same time doing whatever it takes to make a point to the people of Corinth that they need to get it right. So I will try to read today's text with the appropriate level of what I believe sarcasm that Paul brought to this text. We're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 33. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I'm talking like a madman. I am a better one, with a far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless floggings and often near death. Five times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. Three times I was shipwrecked for a night and a day, and I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, and danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. And besides other things, I am under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, blessed be He forever, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas guarded the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. This is the word of God for the people of God. Paul is boasting about all that he has endured for his commitment to Christ. And he's doing this to make a point to these people at Corinth that I have been as much or more out there for Jesus as these so-called teachers that are teaching you things that are antithetical to what I have been teaching you. But I have to tell you, when I read this passage, I hang my head in shame that I have ever dared to say to God, this is hard. This is scary. I don't really want to do this, God. I mean, I look at what Paul endured on behalf of his discipleship, his following of Jesus Christ, and my faith has cost me nothing. Not one thing. I mean, the most radical thing I did was go into the ministry at 38, trusting that God would be there, and He has been faithful every step of the way. I have not been flogged. I have not been shipwrecked. I have not been caned. I have not feared from my brothers and my sisters very much. My faith, my being a disciple of Jesus Christ, has cost me nothing. I mean, there are some inconveniences that happen. I have to come to work on Sundays instead of going duck hunting, right? Or I take time to read scripture and talk with other people about my faith rather than go and do some other things that I might choose to do to entertain myself because I have this commitment to Christ, right? There are some inconveniences. I have been asked by God or the bishop to do some scary things. And I have done those things. But at the end, my faith in Christ, my commitment to Jesus, has cost me very little. Unlike our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, who by just practicing their faith can put their lives in danger. Or our brothers and sisters in China, that by just having a Bible can put their life at risk. I mean, our commitment to Christ has cost us very, very little. I look at what Paul has endured to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, of salvation in Him, and I am ashamed that my faith has cost me so little. And then I look at the commitment that Jesus made to each one of us, to me and to the world, to give His life, that we might be forgiven. We might have eternal life. Jesus gave His all for us. And I look at my commitment to Christ and all of the shortcomings that I have, and I hang my head in shame. I look at this. I think about what Christ has done for me. All that I can do, all that I can do is to offer myself up as a holy and living sacrifice, as Paul says in Romans. There's not a whole lot holy about me, by the way. But I am offering Christ my all. Everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that I ever hope to be in life, I give to Him in His service. As we begin this new year and this new adventure in the Global Methodist Church, I promise you I will recommit myself to work for Christ every single day of my life. I would ask that you would join me in that commitment, that you would recommit your life to Christ, 100%, all in. Don't hold anything back. Offer yourself as a holy and living sacrifice to the one who saved your life, the one who cleansed you from sins and has given you the gift of eternal life. Recommit your life this day to serve the one who saved the world. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, help us in our unbelief. Help us to give all where we are inclined to hold back. Help us, Father, to fully give ourselves to you, to your kingdom, and to your service. Oh, Father God, help us to give it all to you and hold nothing back. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. O God, our Father, who has set forth the way of life for us in thy beloved Son, forgive us where we have wasted our time or misused our gifts. Forgive us where we have excused our own wrongdoing or evaded our responsibilities. Forgive us that we have been unwilling to overcome evil with good, that we have drawn back from the cross. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Believe the good news of the gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, you had formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting. You alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. In his baptism and in table fellowship, he took his place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to receive communion today, will those assisting please come forward? It's important for us as Wesleyans to remember that this is not a Methodist table, nor a Global Methodist table, or an Atascocita Methodist table. It is the Lord's table, and all are welcome to receive it. We will serve by intinction, and so you'll get a piece of bread, and you can dip it in the juice and then receive it. If you need gluten-free communion, there will be a tray where you can take a gluten-free wafer.
Body of Christ, broken for you. Amen. Gracious and holy God, it is with such great joy that we come to your table, that we remember the price that was paid for us, that we might live forever, that we might be washed clean of our sin. Father, we are so grateful that we have that opportunity. Father, we ask that you would renew our commitment to you. Let it grow forever stronger. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Please stand.
As our benediction today, we are going to recite together the Wesley Covenant Prayer. You should have received a copy of that as you came in. I ask that you take that with you, put that on your refrigerator or your bathroom mirror, someplace where you will see it daily, and pray it often, because it is a wonderful prayer and it reminds you and me of the commitment that we have made to Christ. We are no longer our own, but yours. Put us to what you will. Rank us with whom you will. Put us to doing. Put us to suffering. Let us be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you, brought low for you. Let us be full. Let us be empty. Let us have all things. Let us have nothing. We freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are ours and we are yours. So be it. And the covenant which we have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Go forth from this place to recommit your life to the service of Jesus the Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.